Yes, it is. Excellent, excellent. But this morning, we just need to tidy off our series that we've been looking at of nailing our colours to the mast. That's what we've been looking at over the summer months. And this morning, bizarrely enough, is the whole subject of prayer. Doesn't God move in mysterious ways? A whole new day story about passports and answered prayer. Just coming together, linking that in nicely. So that's good. So it's one of our core values, prayer. We hold it dear in the life of the church. That's why we have prayer meetings. That's why we pray. And there's so much that I could talk about here. We could talk about Jesus and how his whole ministry was undergirded by prayer, and how he went up the mountain and spent whole nights in prayer before he chose the 12 apostles. Or how he sought those times just to be by himself and doing business with God. The life of Jesus. Or perhaps when the disciples came to him and said, well, look, Jesus, we've seen you praying. We've seen you got this prayer life. We've seen you talking with God. Teach us how to pray. And God and Jesus then taught them how to pray. We could look at that. But instead, I'm going to look at the early church's response. And how they prayed. So if you want to grab your Bibles, if you've got your Bibles with you, and turn to Acts, we're just going to look at a couple of accounts as how the early church prayed and use that as a basis for how we should pray. Acts chapter 1, verse 12, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. And it goes on to list everybody that was there. And verse 14, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. There's a whole gang of people there together. The first church, the early church, gathering together in this upper room. And what do? They devote themselves to prayer. What does devotion look like? Well, we have great examples of that at the moment, don't we? Great inspirational stories of Olympians and Paralympians and how they spent the last 4 years training them, their bodies and their skills just to go for that one goal, that gold medal. It's all they've got their eyes fixed on. They devoted themselves their whole lives to gaining that gold medal so they can run faster, higher, stronger than anybody else, just to get that gold medal. They are truly devoted. The early church here, gathering together, they were devoted. What were they devoted to? They were devoted to prayer. Why? Because they spent the previous 3 years with Jesus, the Son of God, come down onto earth. They spent time with him. They listened to his teaching. They saw him perform miracles. And saw him bring healing and setting people free and listened to their teaching. And they were with him when he battled with God in the Garden of Gethsemane and not my will, but your will, Father. And they were there when they saw him being beaten up and crucified on the cross as that perfect sacrifice for their sins and all our sins. And they were there when he died. And they were there when they buried him in the grave. And they were there again when he rose 3 days later. And again, Jesus, fully human, in a new body, just walking around, spending time with them, walking and talking and eating with them, just to prove that he wasn't any other nutcase that had died on a cross, that he was the Son of God. He rose again. They'd had this relationship with Jesus. They'd seen him ascended back to take his rightful place on his throne and kingdom of heaven, just to demonstrate that he had the victory over Satan, victory over sin and death. They were there. And what was their response? They devoted themselves in prayer to God. They praised God. They prayed to him. They were devoted. And also, the early church, they came together in prayer when there were big decisions to be made. We just read a few verses later. Judas, who betrayed Jesus, they were looking for a replacement for him amongst the disciples. And they prayed, verse 24, they prayed and they said, "You, Lord, you know the hearts of all. Show which one of these two you have chosen." They whittled the short list down to Joseph and Matthias. And they said to God, "Yeah, show us which one. Show us who it is that you have chosen to replace Judas. It's a big decision. It's got big impact. We need you to help us, Father God." They prayed when there were decisions to be made. And of course, the pattern continues here into verse 2. They were all together again in one place, together, praying. And what happens? God turns up. They were told to wait. Jesus said, "It's better that I return to heaven and send the Holy Spirit to you. It's better that you go and wait for him." And they're together in one place, and they're praying, and they're seeking God. And God shows up in power, baptizing them all in the Holy Spirit, releasing gifts, languages, and tongues, and giving them the boldness to declare the gospel of Jesus. God moves in power when the church comes together in prayer. And what was the net effect of that time together? Peter gets up and preaches, and 3,000 people say, "Yeah, I'm going to give my life to Jesus." 3,000 men became followers of Jesus that day. It's just fantastic, isn't it? When the church comes together and prays, things happen. And what happens at the end of this account, verse 42, chapter 2, verse 42, they devoted themselves. This is the early church. The main activities of the church are listed here. They have devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to teaching, to fellowship, being together, breaking of bread, and prayer. This is what the early church was doing in their response to their relationship with Jesus. The church prayed, God came in power. Chapter 3, we have the account of the lame beggar who was healed, and Peter speaking, and then Peter and John get in trouble with the authorities in chapter 4, and they get thrown in jail overnight. And because they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they have the boldness, and the Holy Spirit gives them the words to say in dealing with the authorities, and it's the authorities of the day can't deny the fact that this guy was healed because he's standing there right next to them. And he's been healed. So they give him a stern ticking off and they let Peter and John go. And what do Peter and John do? When they were released, verse 23, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God. See, we don't get many insights into how the church prayed, but we've got one here. When they heard it, when they heard the testimony of Peter and John, they lifted their voices together to God. That's why we say it sometimes. We say, "Come on, let's stir ourselves. Let's pray. Let's lift our voices together. Let's praise God. Let's pray to him. Let's call on him." God who moves in such power, who sets Peter and John free, who's affecting the lives of young people all over this nation. Let's lift our voices together. And it goes on, well, what were they actually praying for? What was it they were saying? And actually, it's written down here, so that's really helpful. Verse 29 goes on, "Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants, us, to Peter and John, to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal. Signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. The early church having this relationship with Jesus, praying to the Father. They see God move as Peter and John are released, and they say, "God, it's because of you that happened. do it again. Fill us with boldness. Give us the power to go and be witnesses to you. We'll preach the gospel. You do the miracles of healing. And we'll change this world for your glory. We'll change this world for your glory. You do it, God. They asked for that boldness. And again, God came in power. The Holy Spirit shaped the place where they were gathered. We know that, don't we? Being filled with the Holy Spirit, being baptized with the Holy Spirit isn't just a one-off event in Acts 2. It's not just a one-off event in our lives, but the meaning of it is to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, to have the power to be bold, to speak out, to witness to the glory of God. And these guys, when they came together, when they prayed, God showed up in power. The church responded to what Peter and John had been through. And they said, God, with you on our side, anything is possible. Last little account here, Acts chapter 12. Things for the early church are getting a bit stickier, and a bit more desperate. Chapter 12, at that time, Herod the king had laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. This is not going well for the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of the unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him. I don't know how many soldiers are in a squad, but that sounds like a lot. Intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison. Check this out. But earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. It's very easy, isn't it, when the going gets tough, to cry out to God. But as we've seen here through the account written in Acts, they're praising God in the good times and the bad times. But it's not getting much worse than this. James has been killed, Peter's in jail, and Herod's threatening to kill him after the Passover feast. The church do the only thing they can. They come together and they pray earnestly for Peter to be released. Peter to be released. And of course, we know the account, don't we? We know the story and what happened next. The church comes together and prays. God listens. God answers. God sends an angel. Peter thinks he's seeing a vision, but the angel just miraculously leads him out of the jail through four squads of soldiers. Peter, he comes to his senses and realizes this isn't a vision, this is true, this is really happening, he's free. And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. The church had not given up hope. The church had persevered, earnestly praying for Peter, and God had answered that prayer, and he'd come through. The church prayed in times of disaster and saw miracles performed. This is what prayer looks like in the days of the early church in my Bible. Do you agree? Yeah? Is this what prayer looks like in the life of Elsham Community Church? I think it does. Yeah? I think it does. I remember we had a River of God prayer meeting a few months ago where we just cried out to God and wrestled and wrestled with God for the whole area of healing. Do you remember that? Were you there? Did you come? Just looked at the whole issue of healing. And then we've had John stand here and testify. I came to church with pain from arthritis, but God's healed me, and I'm free from pain. Remember Alison standing here and saying, I've had problems with my liver for 2 years, and I regularly have blood tests, and I've had a blood test. Somebody's prayed for me, and I had a blood test, and what was it? It was the first time it had been normal for 2 years. The first time her blood test had been normal for 2 years because somebody had prayed for her to be healed. Praise God. When the church comes together and wrestles for God for these things and the whole area of healing, God listens, God responds. But are we satisfied with that? Or do we long to see more? Long to see more, yeah? Do you remember on August the 12th, what happened? August the 12th, we met here, it was a Sunday morning, and we spent 5 minutes praying for New Day. And I gave you a guide, a prayer request guide for you to take away during the week. And ask you to pray for us whilst we're at New Day. And you've heard the testimony of people this morning and how prayers were answered. Part of that prayer request was that the young people going would engage with God and meet with God. And you've heard them say this morning, hey, the best thing about New Day were these times of worship. When God was healing people. When God was speaking to people. I know they were a bit shy this morning and that they've got other stories to tell as well. But that's okay. Church came together and prayed. This whole thing about the weather. If you've seen the news this week, you would have seen that officially on record, it's been the wettest summer for the past 100 years. Do you see that? The wettest summer for the past 100 years. I don't think anybody's told God. Because when we went to New Day, the problem we were having was making sure that everyone had enough sun cream on and was drinking enough because it was so hot and people were getting sunburnt that it was causing us some issues. Fortunately, we had a massive gazebo that we could put up to provide some shade. Just to give it a little bit more context, okay, Tuesday morning of New Day in Norwich on the Ring Road, we had reports that cars were having to pull over because of the torrential rain. They couldn't see where they were going because it was raining so much in Norwich. On Tuesday morning, in Norwich, at the showground, it was glorious sunshine. It was glorious sunshine. We came together, we prayed for good weather. God answered that prayer. God answered that prayer. You heard Ali say about it when she was working that there was the threat of a major storm and flooding, and it bypassed New Day. What an answer to prayer. On that prayer guide, it asked you to pray specifically for Thursday evening for healing and salvation. The figures that I heard was on Thursday evening, 306 people made first-time commitments to Jesus. On Thursday evening, 150 made recommitments to Jesus. On Thursday evening, 250 people were healed by Jesus. 306 first-time commitments, 150 recommitments, and 250 healings. And just to put that in context with the healings, okay, because it's young people and some of these sicknesses and issues are obviously quite serious, you know, if I eat that, I'll die, but I believe God has healed me, so I'm going to eat that now. Okay, they actually have teams of doctors there to verify things. Okay, they have teams of doctors. Healing. God broke out. The church together, the church here, the church across the UK, across the world, praying for New Day. And God moved in power. I'll say one more time and we can give the proper response. 306 first time commitments, 150 recommitments, 250 healings. In the book of Acts, when the church came together, God moved in power. When Elsham Community Church comes together to pray, God moves in power. Is it coincidence that I stand here today finishing this series on Nailing Our Colours to the Mast, talking about prayer, when tonight starts our week of prayer. It may be a coincidence. It may be Simon's extremely good, clever planning. I doubt that. It could be that God has just orchestrated all of this. But tonight we have this fantastic opportunity to start this week of prayer where we can wrestle with God for more things, where we can do business with God for more things together as a church. One big question. We've been trying to engage with the community, asking them, if you could ask God anything, what is it? Let us help you explore the big questions about God. We want them to come over the next four Sundays and hear those questions to help them in their walk with God. We can only do that if God is with us and moving in power. We've got Alpha lined up straight afterwards in the autumn. We want people to come and explore who is Jesus. We want them to come and find out more about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need to wrestle with God. God, would you bring salvation to our town? When the early church prayed, 3,000 were added to their number that day. Is it fair enough just to settle for one? God, would you come? Would you move? Why? Because God, you spoke to us a number of years ago about seeing exponential growth in this church. You sent those with the gift of prophecy to us, and you spoke to us about seeing growth. Now, God, we are going to do business with you, and we want to see that growth happen. Amen? Tonight, what are you doing? Hopefully, you'll be here praying. 7 o'clock.